Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
It's live, and we welcome all of you back. It's been a busy one. Seth Emerson joining us earlier. Chris Stewart will join us in a couple of minutes, and we'll talk to him about the upcoming Bama season, Utah State, the first game. Let's get back to your phone calls right here. And Brett is in South Carolina. Hello, Brett.
Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey there.
I got two questions for you. The first one I want to ask is something that I've been talking to a lot of my Georgia friends about, and it's, do you think Georgia can repeat riding behind their offense, right? You got a lot of guys that went in the draft, a lot of first-round picks, a lot of high picks after that from that legendary defense, the greatest of all time, in my opinion. Do you think they can ride that offense and go back-to-back this year?
I think the offense is the key. I agree with you on that. I hate to make a wild prediction. I have a feeling that they're going to really be explosive. I remember a couple of times that we've chatted with Kirby Smart, and he clearly has a different focus and philosophy because of the need. I'm hesitant to say they can go back-to-back, but I think they can come close.
And then my next question is, which I agree, I think it's going to be tough. I think Bama's going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. I was watching the SEC Network before your show came on, and I was watching the SEC story about all the great play-by-play guys. I'm a young play-by-play broadcaster myself. I want to ask your opinion, who you think the greatest SEC voice has been all time, no matter the school. I'm a little biased. Mine's obviously Larry Munson.
Now,
who do you think the greatest
It's a great question. And by the way, what type of play-by-play did you do?
Baseball, basketball, anything. I've done every sport except for football so far. So.
I'm going to give you an answer that I think we all answer how we – our preference. I've heard them all. I've said before I thought Caywood Ledford may have been the best basketball play-by-play, and I grew up in college going to John Ward imitation contests, and I've been friends with a few along the way. But I will tell you this, and I've alluded to this in the past, but if you gave me one more night on this earth and said, okay, you're on a dark country road and you could only listen to one, the answer is Larry Munson.
There we go. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, and you have a good one, and go Dawgs.
Thank you. And the reason I say that is that Larry Munson just made it such an experience. And every one of these gentlemen have their own skill set. I couldn't do a play-by-play broadcast for if my life depended on it because I don't have that skill. But to me, what he was able to do, not only did he have a great voice, he had a deep, resonant voice, he made it so entertaining. And unlike some, he was the toughest guy in the Dawgs when they weren't doing well. That's what made him so funny. And he was just such a character. Probably not what I would say is, contextually the best, but that's not what fans want. Fans want to enjoy the game. They want to be entertained. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. CB is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, CB.
Wow. Hello, Paul. How you doing, brother?
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I've been a little sick, but off and on. I tell you, you got Chris Stewart. Come on. I tell you, Chris is a down-to-earth guy, straight shooter. And he's a credit to Alabama sports. I just want to hear you speak with him. I appreciate it.
Well, I agree with you on that. And he is, he's had to overcome a lot, as you know. He is as smooth as they come. And we can't wait to talk to him in a few minutes.
appreciate you taking my call, and thank you.
Thank you. You be well. Take care of yourself. Let's check in with Jessica in Kentucky. Hello, Jessica. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
So I want to talk about the Big Blue Nation and the Kentucky Wildcats this year.
Well, let's talk about it.
Well, let's do it. I know you were talking about Rodriguez earlier. He made a dumb mistake, possibility out 3 to 4 games, but I think they go to Florida and win. And I also think they'll whip some Georgia tail at home on a sold-out game.
Well, I'm glad you have that confidence, and maybe I should have more, and maybe I will once I get a chance to see Saturday and especially September 10th. But I am a little bit hesitant without knowing who will be in there for that Florida game. And I, you know, let's be honest, I want to see what Florida looks like. I think Florida is very capable of winning against Utah, but if suddenly we look at the Gators and go, oh my goodness, they're nothing like what we thought, then that makes Kentucky's case a lot easier. Thank you for the call. Appreciate your optimism. And let's talk to Dennis in Georgia. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Paul. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Paul, I've got a beef with Nick Saban and Alabama. They are, without a doubt, the number one program in the country. No doubt.
Okay.
So why do they have to cherry pick star players from other teams? They have a slew of star players from other teams. These players did not leave their teams because of lack of playing time. They went to Alabama to get a ring, I guess, guaranteed or whatever, promised by the coaches or whoever. Now, can you, what do you think of that? I can name the players: Jahmyr Gibbs, Eli Ricks from LSU, Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech, Jermaine Burton from Georgia, Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt, even Henry Toa Toa from Tennessee, the wide receiver that was so good from Ohio State last year.
New Williamson.
And there's a wide receiver from Mississippi State. These were star players at the other schools. What do you think of that?
Well, it goes both ways. I mean, they're Alabama players at Arkansas and countless at Texas and countless other schools. Because of the transfer portal, players have the right and the ability to go wherever they want. So let's not blame Alabama. They're just doing what they have to do to be competitive. I mean, this is not a your son or grandson's six-year-old T-ball team where you want everybody to have a good time and get a lot of experience. I mean, this is serious competition. So you go out and you get the best you can. I don't have a problem with that at all.
How many star players from Alabama left and went to these other schools?
Well, some did.
Name some.
Well, Hill went to Texas. I don't know if he's still on the roster, but he went there. And who's the guy that went to Arkansas? I can't remember his name right now. But, I mean, these things happen every day of the week. And it's just part of the nature of college football. Once you allow the transfer portal for a player to leave without penalty, then it's open season. Alabama had a backup quarterback that left to go to Arizona State.
That's right, a backup.
Well, I didn't – well, okay.
Do you
expect the starting quarterback to leave?
Our players.
I mean, why don't you ask Jermaine Burton why he left Georgia? Maybe he got tired of it. Maybe he wanted to try something else.
You don't see my point here.
No, I see your point, Dennis. But I also know that if you're Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or anybody else, you're fighting off these denizens out there. And you know you're going to have injuries. And if somebody calls you and says, hey, I want to come there. Now, by the way, I mean, you had the best wide receiver in the country, was on the verge of going to Alabama because he wanted to play with Bryce Young. And all of a sudden, mysteriously, he decided to go to USC. I can't think of 4 million reasons why he did that. Let's take a break. Chris Stewart will be joining us here in a minute. He is the broadcaster for the University of Alabama. We'll talk about the upcoming season right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Chris Stewart joins us. We've had so many great conversations. I think the last time we talked to Chris was down at the SEC basketball tournament, and really a memorable conversation about some of the things that Chris has overcome. Chris, first of all, good afternoon, and thanks for making time.
No, thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
It's been well publicized that you will be in the booth Saturday night for the first game, and I know that's not a position that you look forward to from a sense of who's not there. And I also know it's difficult with confidentialities, but so many people have called us, Chris, asking about Eli, and is there anything you can tell us?
I wish I could give you an update, give you more, Paul, but like you said, and as you know, because you know Eli and Claudette very well, very private, and being respectful of that. I do know this. They have heard from everybody, and the messages have gotten to them, and I do know how grateful they are that people have reached out and have shared their concern and their love for them, and I do know that they are very, very appreciative of all of it.
I'm glad to hear that, because Chris, and I'm saying this to you, not to Eli, because I mean Eli knows how all of us feel, but it's been frustrating not being able to tell people anymore, because you've heard it more than we have, but we've heard it a lot, the outpouring of love and genuine concern. And I know that he and Claudette and his family are the ones going through this, but there's just such a pall over this part of the season, I think, because of the uncertainty.
I agree. And as you and I've talked about, it's one I understand. And you've known Eli longer than I have, even though, you know, I grew up in the market listening in Birmingham to both of you. And this is something that he values so much, not just broadcasting, but broadcasting Alabama football. And with all the other opportunities that he's had throughout his career, he always made sure that nothing interfered with an Alabama broadcast. And so for him to have to miss any games whatsoever, just as a couple of years ago, and I filled in, he had COVID and had to miss the Alabama-Arkansas game season before last. And that ended an amazing streak of, I believe, 409 consecutive games that he had broadcast for the Tide. It absolutely tore him up that he had to miss that game. And I know that this is something that he absolutely despises as well, having to miss it. But he's been incredibly gracious and kind to me, encouraging to me, and I'm so grateful for it.
Chatting with Chris Stewart, and Chris, the season begins. Nothing stops the beginning of week one. So let's talk to you about what you know about this team, other than that they're expected to be good, if not great, and what you've been able to pick up through your many trips to Tuscaloosa.
I know I'll get blamed if it doesn't turn out the way everybody wants it to. That's already been expressed in my own household. So,
well, you should be. It is your fault.
Exactly. It's blame the new guy. I will say that you've got to evaluate all the teams at the start of the year, because that's all you can do is evaluate. And I think you would be foolish at this stage, at this point, not to look at everybody's roster, not to look at the coaching staff, not to look at the players and say, okay, Alabama's got to be at the starting point for this. We know there's no guarantee of anything for week two, but I think you would be foolish not to start the conversation with Alabama as certainly the team you point to first. When you've got not just the two best players in college football, in my opinion, in Bryce Young and Will Anderson Jr., but are two guys who are probably among the best leaders in all of college football. That's a rare combination. It's very special, and you put a great roster with them, and it's understandable that the expectations would be where they are. And, oh, by the way, Nick Saban is still coaching, so that's a pretty good reason for excitement as well from an Alabama standpoint.
Chris, sometimes the vibe is wrong, but you always get somebody that saw something, that heard something. You see more and hear more than most of us. But this year it just seems to be over the moon in terms of being positive. I know you want to take that with a grain of salt, but it does seem to be the way things are coming and going right now. What can you tell us about dealing with that positivity?
Well, you've got all of the guys back that you expected to, that you felt like would be major contributors, and I've already talked about the two most important ones. But then you add to that, a number of transfers that look like they're ready to help immediately. A Tyler Steen at left tackle, in the, among the receiving core, a guy like Jermaine Burton, who you just squared off against in the national championship game last year, two or three other receivers that fall into that mix, and a couple of other guys at other spots that come in ready to help. And from all indication, those guys don't just fit between the lines, they fit in the locker room as well. They've blended well. They understand what the expectation is. They understand the culture. And they're as excited to be there as Alabama is to have them there. That's a good combination. So the plug-and-play opportunities that are there that don't always work out that way, but the ones that are there right now for some of those guys I just talked about certainly give you cause for excitement from the Bama side.
So much has been said about the wide receivers, and when you have Bryce Young, seems like a lot of people could become really good wide receivers. But from reading, and you tell us, what does the chemistry seem like, and who should we keep our eyes on?
Well, they like him a lot. I mentioned Jermaine Burton, but Trayshawn Holden's had a great camp. Ja'Cory Brooks is a guy who got himself ready, so that when the opportunity came late last year against Auburn, he was prepared to step in and contribute in a big way. I think somebody that everybody's excited to see, and excited to see that he's earned, apparently at least in game one, a starting spot, is Kobe Prentice, a freshman from Calera. And look, I talk about all of these veterans coming back and guys who are transfers that played key roles at D1 programs last year. It's not easy for a freshman to get on the field early, let alone in a starting role, but Kobe Prentice is one that looks like he's going to get that opportunity and will be fun to watch as well.
Chris, why are so many people going gaga over Jermaine Gibbs, the running back from Georgia Tech?
I think because he's a veteran who has shown that despite not being on a team that's had great success collectively, he's still been able to put up some really good numbers. But then you see him wearing an Alabama uniform, you see a guy who's built like he is at 5'11", 200, who can catch the ball out of the backfield but yet still run between the tackles, can maybe contribute in the return game as well. You see a versatility there and a dimension that you didn't have last year. Brian Robinson, who, by the way, we're all so thankful, is alive and is going to be okay, apparently, from the reports we're hearing in Washington. But Brian got by last year on some talent, but a lot of guts and a lot of will. There wasn't much depth, as you well know. There's talent behind Jahmyr Gibbs. It's ready to go. Jace McClellan being back, Roydell Williams, Trey Sanders, just to name a few. But Gibbs is a guy that gives them a dimension that is pretty unique and pretty special with what he can do in all phases. You don't have to take him off the field in throwing situations. He's a weapon first, second, or third down.
Finally, Chris, I would like to end on you. And you've had so many big calls and had so many big moments, and you have done Alabama football, and you've done pretty much everything else there is to do. How do you approach Saturday, knowing this is not the way it was originally scheduled, but you have to do what you're asked to do, and for all the reasons that we've discussed previously?
Paul, I'm trying to enjoy it. You've known me a long time. This is a special opportunity for somebody who grew up an Alabama fan, who has lived always within 45 minutes of where I was born in Fairfield, just west of Birmingham, who grew up listening to a dear friend of yours in John Forney, who grew up and got to know Paul Kennedy, who followed John, who has been friends with and worked with Eli for basically 20 years in some capacity on Alabama football broadcasts. It should be very special, very enjoyable. It is more than tempered, though, given the circumstances, because I can certainly relate to what Eli's dealing with, and you've been very kind and gracious, and we've talked about that before. It's bittersweet. It's the opportunity of a lifetime, and yet it's one I hope I don't have for very long, because that would mean he's gotten well and able to come back and take a job that is rightfully his.
Well said, and all the best, Chris, and please continue to share all of the people that are part of this program's best wishes and prayers to Eli. We will be listening, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Paul. Always good to talk to you.
Chris Stewart filling in on Saturday night for the legendary Eli Gold, and we will take a short break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Your question, who's the best running back in college football? Got a lot of responses. Let's get a caller response. Chris is in South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Chris, what's going on? I always ask this question to our younger callers. You're how old?
How old? I'm 12.
You're 12 years old. What a great age to be. So you're on the cusp of being a teenager.
Yes.
Wow. I won't ruin your day by telling you what's ahead.
I say most people. I have two questions for you, Paul.
Okay.
All right. I'll start with the first. I'd say the people often forget about the running back 2 years ago, Kevin Harris on South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, he was really good.
He had about 1,000 rushing yards, and people often forget because in early 2020 he got injured. Then at the end of the year he came back and had a pretty good rushing.
He did. So what? Who do you like right now?
I'd say currently, probably I can't think of his name right now. I'd say Bijan Robinson. He may not be in the SEC.
I mean, he's
still very good.
I think he's considered in the rarefied air. I mean, he I think perceptually right now he is considered the best. So, how are you planning to spend your first college football weekend?
In Williams-Brice Stadium.
I like the sound of that. Hey, listen, you take care of yourself, Chris. Hope you enjoy the game. It's going to be a big weekend honoring Jadeveon Clowney. Philip is in Memphis. How are you, Philip? I thought I was about to send the National Guard out to see if you were still around.
I'm doing okay, Paul. It's great to talk to you
Thank
again.
You're
not going to ask my age, I take it.
I see, Phil, I've been to your office, so I know I've seen your diploma. And
let's cut it right there. Okay?
It was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Your check's in the mail.
Thank you. I need a check.
count on it. Paul, the last caller before Chris's interview, and by the way, that was a great interview.
It was.
With Chris. The gentleman named Dennis was about as misguided as our friend from Canada who calls periodically. Let me point out to start with that every single player, the five who were signed by Alabama from the portal, every one of them had petitioned and been accepted in the portal before Alabama ever made contact with them. Why should Alabama be excluded from being able to talk to people, as Dennis suggested, if somebody is leaving?
You know why, Phil, because they're Alabama. They shouldn't be held to the same standards that everybody else. They should they should have to work twice as hard.
That's what I'm hearing. But Jameson Williams would never have been a first-round draft choice had he stayed at Ohio State. He was not even a starter there. Came to Alabama, and he was misused at Ohio State. That should be obvious. Saban and the staff conjured up some plays. And by the way, Jameson Williams and John Metchie were as good a team of wide receivers as I've ever seen. I'm sure that LSU would argue with that, but they had some good guys too. But they're probably the best that Alabama's had so far. But maybe we'll see some more good pairings here. But Dennis is just mistaken. I think it's his jealousy of success. He probably hates the Patriots and the Yankees and the Lakers too. But that's his problem, not mine.
Well, Phillip, some of that just comes from, and I hear it all the time, you know, why do you talk about Alabama so much? Well, because they've been number one every year since Saban's second year, and they've won six national championships and lost three other times. I mean, they're at the epicenter of the sport. They are the brand that everyone talks about, not just SEC fans.
That's a fact, and I hear – all kinds of slander about how we got there. I can't even go to church now without my Auburn friends telling me that we're just about to be busted by the NCAA, which is a joke. The NCAA couldn't bust anybody. They don't. That's a joke.
And Philip is somebody who knows what he's talking about on this subject. You could literally give the NCAA office a tape of money. Passing hands, you could give them a GPS roadmap to where to go get them, and they still wouldn't go to the right place.
Still wouldn't get it. Is that guy Johannig Meyer still on the staff?
I don't think. Remember back 50 years ago, they used to have this commercial for Maytag refrigerators where they never broke, and they had this like one guy with a hat sitting there at a steel desk.
Sure.
And his phone never rang. I mean, that's the NCAA enforcement office right now. They don't have one.
They don't have one. They wouldn't know what to do if they got a but good piece of evidence. They don't have any lawyers up there, I guess.
I think I told you this once, and I don't want to go into the case because it preceded predated even us getting together. But I was involved in a situation once at the beginning of my career where we needed the NCAA file to defend ourselves in a lawsuit. And we went all the way to the Kansas Supreme Court when the NCAA office was in, I think, Olathe, Kansas. And we finally got it. That was really one of the first defeats the NCAA legal team had, the first of many, I might add. And we got to the file, and there was literally nothing in it.
Oh, redacted, huh?
Well, not even that. I mean, they did such shabby work, and that's when they had real investigators.
Well, Paul, when they came down to Alabama 20 years ago, they tried to hotbox several Alabama players, and I was so proud of the guys that went into that star chamber procedure. They would not give up anything that hadn't happened. In other words, they would not testify to something they knew to be false. And
you know, Philip, I just thought you were involved in one of the federal cases, but I testified at two different civil cases, as you remember. One in Tuscaloosa and the other one in like the middle of nowhere. That was Ray Keller's case. You remember that one?
Sure.
And I wish we had video of those proceedings because, I mean, we could together make a fortune on YouTube showing the audience, the college football fans, the ineptitude of the NCAA.
Paul, I was sitting in the courtroom about 20 feet from Tommy Gallion when you were on the stand. Man, it was my job was to watch the jurors get impressions of each one of them as you were testifying. It was fabulous.
I've forgotten the guy's name, and I don't know if he's alive or not, but that judge may have been the stupidest human being I've ever met.
Yeah, I've forgotten his name on purpose. I don't know. It's been so long. I'm sure he's either retired or been put out to pasture by the voters. But he lost a piece of evidence that he demanded that Gallion give him. He lost it.
And, do you remember when he tried to lecture me, Philip, that I was in his courtroom? He was in charge of the microphone. And I said, Your Honor, I apologize. I said, I'm not going to say another word about how Philip Fulmer, the jurors were going crazy. And he was like, tried to grab the microphone out of my hand.
I would pay money for if anybody's got took a picture of that with their telephone, but I've got it on tape. I've got the audio, but
that
would be
hilarious.
Much better with video, but, Paul, let me close with this. Thanksgiving's coming up shortly. Every Thanksgiving, my family gets together, and we go around the table before we start eating. Everybody says what they're thankful for. My two sons have started thanking God for Paul Feinbaum for what he did for their dad's client in 2004. And we'll get together at what they call the big house, all the families, the grandkids and everybody gets together, but you are beloved by my family now, not just me. The kids have become Feinbaum fans for they read most. My younger son's a lawyer now, and he's a big fan of yours from having read the file.
Well, Phil, thank you and thank them for saying that. And we all need to get together and just have somewhat of a wake for that moment, because that was truly one of the most remarkable periods of any of our lives.
It was, Paul, and I'm grateful to God for letting me be a participant in it. It was a great experience, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank them, and you be well. And we're up against the break. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Kirk Herbstreit will join us at the bottom of the next hour to help preview week one of the college football season. Let's get back to the calls, and Frank is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I just want to say I love your show, watch you every day, and it's great that you're getting us all fired up for college football again this year. But I wanted to say I'm a lifelong Notre Dame fan. Grew up in South Bend, lived my whole life there. But now I'm down here in Atlanta, and I take a lot of abuse from SEC fans. But my question for you is, over the years I've listened to you and watched you, and I don't think I've ever heard you say anything positive about Notre Dame. And granted, you know, this year them being ranked as a top five team is a little bit sketchy. But I'm wondering, what would it take for you? Is it a dislike for Notre Dame, or you just don't have any respect for them to say something positive about Notre Dame? Again, I love your show, listen to you every day, but I'm just waiting for that one moment when you say something great about Notre Dame.
Well, Frank, I really would push back on what you said. 2 years ago during COVID, when Notre Dame was being lambasted for being a legitimate Final Four team, I was arguing here and elsewhere for Notre Dame's inclusion. I have complimented Brian Kelly turning his program around after nearly losing it 7 or 8 years ago. The situation about today, it's all about the ranking. You're on these programs and you're asked a question, and there's either two ways to go. You either say Notre Dame is legitimate, or you say that they're going to lose on Saturday night, and then it gets disseminated. So I don't have anything against Notre Dame. I've been there several times. I have tremendous respect for the program, and I think it's an exaggeration by some in the Notre Dame family to purport me to be an enemy of the state. I'm not.
No, and I agree with that. I think, as you mentioned on one of your shows, us Notre Dame fans are a little bit sensitive, and I think that's because we do get beaten around quite a bit. But, you know, there's a little-known fact, and this is we hang our hat on this. I don't know if you knew this or not, but both times that Notre Dame went to the playoffs, they got blown out by Clemson. But Clemson went on to blow out the team that they beat for the sure. National Championship by more than they beat Notre Dame. And the same thing happened with Alabama a couple of years ago. Alabama blew out Notre Dame, but then they went on to win the national championship by more points than they beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's funny. Frank, one more thing. I was with Coach Holtz the other day. We sat together at this event, and then I interviewed him. And the very first thing he said to me as I walked in, he said, what's your deal with Notre Dame? I'm like going, you're asking me that? I mean, but – I understand how fans are. This is what I do. And I understand when you're on these shows on ESPN in the morning and you say something, and the next thing you know, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you get a alert, Feinbaum blast Marcus Freeman. Yeah, that's what you see, because very few people know the whole context of it. I'm not about to say I'm misquoted. I wasn't misquoted. But I spent 30 minutes with Marcus Freeman a couple of months ago in Las Vegas at the draft, and have said 1,000 times how impressed I was with him. But that's usually not enough to satisfy a fan base who hasn't really done anything since 1988. Just the facts. Carter is up next in Tennessee. How are you, Carter?
I'm doing good.
Okay, well, what's happening?
Nothing much. I got off of school a few minutes ago. But these people, I don't know. Bijan Robinson and all these other guys, saying they're the best run. In my opinion, I picked Tank Bigsby from Auburn. I feel like he slept on. He had a great freshman year, okay sophomore year, and then he's going into his junior year, and it's just been a mess so far. I don't know if he can – we've been trying to find new offensive coordinators and develop off of those. We lost our AD, and I just don't know what to do right now.
You know, he is one of the best, absolute best running backs in the country. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Brian Harsin utilizes him this year. I suspect he's going to utilize him a great deal. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. You take care of yourself. We are heading to the break. I mentioned we've already had a busy show with Seth Emerson. You heard Chris Stewart on the latest with Alabama's legendary broadcaster Eli Gold. Kirk Herbstreit will join us at the bottom of the hour. He'll be in the booth for Notre Dame, Ohio State. So we'll see what he has to say about that. And more of your phone calls right after this when Nick Suss joins us to give us a report on the Rebels.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.